Remember, every single time that you have a launch, every time you do anything in business, you're always going to have fewer people purchase than there are the number of people left over. Hey there, and welcome back to On Your Terms. I'm your host, Sam Vanderwielen, and today is part four of our launch series. It's part four of four. I can't believe that we're getting to the end of this launch series. I hope that you've liked it so far. So here's how today is going to go. I'm going to recap the launch series so far. Just give us kind of a 30,000 foot bird's eye view of how to run a launch, what we've talked about so far. And then I'm going to hop right into talking about surveys and how I use surveys after a launch to both buyers and non-buyers to help set me up for an even better launch next time. This is super, super important. And at the very end of today's episode, I'm going to share my top three launch tips from all of the things that we talked about today, or all the things we've talked about in this series. So if you don't listen to anything else I say, or you just want a quick place to start, you're going to want to pay attention to those three things at the end of today's episode. So here's why we have to talk today about what to do after a launch. So let's set the stage. You get done with a launch, right? And depending on how it went, depending on what your expectations were, we get done a launch and we can feel all sorts of things. We can feel amazing and be like, that was the best thing ever. How did I pull that off? Or you can feel disappointed and confused and you're like, I'm so frustrated. I don't understand why this thing isn't working or what went wrong. And what happens in those cases, especially when we're frustrated or disappointed or didn't go according to our expectations, is that we then tend to come up with a lot of stories about why. We say people didn't buy because it's August. And my friend said, nobody ever buys anything in the summer. Why did I run something in the summer? Or like, I should have been on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. That's why my program's not selling. All the people are going over to TikTok now. Or you might be telling yourself like, I don't have enough Instagram followers. That's why I didn't get enough purchases, right? We come up with all these stories about why our launch didn't meet our expectation. But here's the thing. We don't need to tell ourselves stories because we don't need to guess. We have the info. You have the info about why this thing didn't work. Or if it did work, if it went really, really well, we have the info about why it worked, right? So that therefore we can double down on those things that did work. And even if your launch didn't go well and you need to look at the data to understand why it didn't go well, you might see some nuggets in there of things that went better than you thought. And then that's going to tell you like, oh, I didn't pay nearly enough attention to my email list or something like that, you know, whatever it is, depending on the data. So looking at the data is really important so that we stop telling ourselves stories and we get real with like what is actually going on. And then we just do more of that. That's really the truth of it, right? So let's recap this launch series so far, bring us up to speed as to where we're at in this part four. So if you listen to part one of the launch series, you know that I talked, first of all, I brought on my director of operations, Lindsay, and we talked all about the data behind my recent promo and that would be a great one to listen to again after you listen to this, because you'll hear us go in and really break down the data in the exact way that I'm telling you in this episode. We also, though, talked about step zero, my favorite step, to be honest, which is about building up the audience to sell to, especially on your email list. And we talked about how important it is that if you know you're going to run a launch, whether it's your first one or you're running your fifth one, how the many, many months up before your launch are the most important. It's not just about running a solid like 2-week launch campaign. It's really about the months and months and months leading up to that launch, who you get into your audience, how you've nurtured them, whether you've attracted the right people, and then frankly, the size of that audience. That's what we talked about a lot in part one, because when we get realistic about the fact that, you know, somewhere between 1-3% of people in your audience will actually purchase your product, it's a very small number, right? Until your audience size starts to get bigger and bigger. So it's just a helpful way to kind of reset expectations and then focus on what's most important, which is building up an audience of the right people who are primed and ready and need your product or your service. Now in part two, we talked about the pre-launch hype, the invite period, and the live events. We talked all about how I have seen with my own data and my own situation, I'm finding that it's so helpful to prime people for weeks and weeks leading up to a launch that something's coming. And you know that I shared in that episode that I have found that the more like forthright and honest I am about, hey, this is coming. Like, let's say I have a live webinar coming, like the live webinar is coming, but also right after that's going to be a sale. And I'm even starting to telegraph like what the sales are. That is working really, really well. I think just getting people prepared and never taking for granted that people are really busy. They have a lot of content being thrown their way. They have a lot of things on their plate, and we are not the center of their universe, right? So that's really important to keep in mind. There needs to be a lot of hype, but we also talked about it from this perspective of like momentum and this positive thing of like really going into your launch with a really excited and positive attitude, a lot of energy, maintaining that energy going into it, no matter how this launch is going, and then inviting people and getting really specific and like getting really creative in stories and elsewhere to get people into your live event if you're going to have one, like a webinar. Now, last week in part three, we talked all about the sales period. So I broke down all my favorite ingredients to a good sale. I broke down the timeline that I tend to follow for like a fast action period, maybe even a little mid-cart action, and then the close cart period, and talked about what could happen after that sale, like even with something like a downsell. And we talked about things like urgency and how important urgency is and how you can use urgency responsibly. In my opinion, we do have to use urgency to get people to take some action. It can't be super open-ended, but we can also do it in a non-sleazy way. And this week, last but not least, in the last part of this series, we're talking about using the data from this launch to tell us what we need to focus on until our next launch and how to actually make our next launch better based on what happened in this one. All right, first things first, let's talk about post-launch data and the surveys. There are essentially two surveys that come out of a post-launch period. So there are two surveys you need to create and send out to people after your launch. The first one is that I want you to send a survey to people who have purchased from you because we want to know more about them. We want to collect data and info about who's bought from you, right? We also want to send out a survey though to people who didn't buy because we want to find out who it was that didn't buy. And why didn't they buy? What was that all about? So I usually will send out some survey to the people who didn't buy that says something like, other than price, what was the reason that you didn't purchase this product at this time? And sometimes it's timing, you know, sometimes it's that they're the wrong fit, but then that's telling me, you know, that there might be some people, maybe I'm not being clear in my messaging, all of that kind of stuff. Now, keep in mind with the why people didn't buy survey, we want to remember that you're not going to fit everybody, right? Your product is not going to fit everyone. So just because somebody says something in their why I didn't buy survey doesn't mean that you need to necessarily take that one person's answer and be like, now I got to change my business model because this one person said this thing, right? You also have to remember that it's always going to be too expensive for some people. And that could be like, true, like they literally can't afford it, or it can be that it's not a budget priority for people too, right? Like we all see things differently in terms of what's worth it and what's too expensive. And some people might spend money on things that you don't think are worth it and vice versa. So it's more about seeing general trends here and common responses. I know that like when I only ever had the Ultimate Bundle, for example, and I also have always sold individual legal templates, like a la carte, you can buy like any contract you want on my website and all that kind of stuff. People would always respond to that survey about the Ultimate Bundle if they didn't buy it. And they would say, oh, I always just wished you had a smaller package, right? Like, is there some other option? And so one thing that told me was that I needed to work on awareness that I also sold a la carte legal templates. And so that's something I started to integrate more into my marketing. The other thing it told me was that maybe there was a possibility for a smaller package. And so I created something called the Legal Foundations Pack, which gives people just one contract template, a training on how to form an LLC, and a mini disclaimer. And so, you know, you can use it to create maybe another product, or you can use it to, like I did, to reflect and look back on your marketing and go, oh, yeah, maybe I'm not making it super clear that I don't just sell this one thing, right? So there's a lot that you can learn from that survey, but I also don't want to encourage you to like shape shift yourself depending on what people say, because you'll end up creating like a 30-headed monster business and nobody wants that. Now, that pretty much covers the people who didn't buy, but what about the people who did buy from you during this launch? Now, whether they're two people, 200 people, 2,000 people, We want to collect info on them and really get to the root of where they came from and why they purchased from you. I also want to know really what did they consume. So let's break this down a little bit more. So I want to know specifically, where did these people originate from? Like, where did they come to me as a lead initially? Like, where did they enter my business? Did they find my podcast? Did they Google search? Did they find me on Instagram? Was it an ad, referred by a friend? Like, whatever it was, right? And you might have lots of different things. Maybe you do some in-person stuff, but we really, really want to know where they came from. Now, when it comes to an online business, we can use technology to our advantage, and we can use unique links to track where people come from. So if you have, for example, a live webinar that you're promoting or a challenge that you're promoting, you can use unique links around the internet on your website. You could have one, you know, link for people to sign up on Instagram. You could use a different one on, in your email list, you can use another one on your podcast, in your show notes, you can use a different one so that there at the end of the launch, you can look and like we were able to sit down and say X number of people signed up from literally from the show notes of On Your Terms, right? And like this was actually a really good example. So we tracked the links of who signed up from On Your Terms for my live webinar in my February launch. Not a lot of people use that link, right? We kind of see that across the board. I don't know if I'm alone in this in the podcasting world, but like we tend to see across the board that you don't see a lot of people clicking links in show notes on podcast players, right? Maybe they do through the website or somewhere else, but not through the podcast player, which kind of makes sense to me. If I'm typically listening to a podcast, I don't really click on that many links, but that's neither here nor there. So not that many people clicked on the link in the show notes, but out of the people that did, it was like a 50 to 60% conversion rate of who bought. So not that many people clicked through from On Your Terms, but a lot of the people who did click through purchased, right? That is super interesting to me because that's telling me that my On Your Terms listeners are this podcast is very important to getting people to purchase, right? It wasn't a huge driver of getting people to sign up, but I can tell people were ready to purchase. But then I could also track like how many people signed up from ads, you know, which is a little easier because we have a lot more technology with like Facebook ads and things like that. How many people signed up organically through my Instagram link, through ManyChat we're using on Instagram, through the Instagram link in bio, through any of the links on my website. So like, we're really able to tell what's working. What I take from all of that is like where to put my energy moving forward. So next time I go to do a launch, maybe there was something that, I don't know, maybe I think like all my leads are coming from Instagram, but then if the data is telling me otherwise, data is telling me that Google is really important, I could spend more time between now and my next launch pouring more time, money, and energy into Google. Right? Or into making things SEO-ifiable, if that's a word. So that's kind of how I take the data and how I look at the data. I also use the data to stop telling myself stories. Like I would tell myself the story, nobody clicks on a link in a podcast. But after looking at the data, I would say, well, it wasn't that a lot of people clicked on it, but a lot of people did end up buying. So it's worth it. I also like to keep a healthy balance between paid ads and my organic leads, you know? So that's another thing that I'm personally looking at in this data is like making sure that it's never an unhealthy balance. Like I want a healthy balance. I still want to pull in a lot of leads organically and know that we can still do it because we can't control ads and you never know what's going to happen with them. Now, if possible, and it kind of depends on whatever software you use for all your different tools, another really cool thing to start tracking in your business that you can do post-launch is looking at approximately how long it took from someone becoming a lead. So like someone entering your business, like getting on your email list, something like that, to buying from you. How long was it between them being a lead and a customer? That helps you know what's really going on, like behind the scenes, like how long does it take somebody really to go through that conversion process? Like how many touch points do they have? That's really helpful to know then too, that like, it's very, like, let's say it takes 60 days. It's very important that you're emailing them every week, that you're showing up in all the places, that you're creating consistent content, that you're being helpful. Because if it's going to take them a few months to convert, like we have to be consistently doing that work for a long time in order to start building up a lot of momentum of getting a lot of new customers. I also want to know what was most impactful in terms of my content and where they saw me that was the most impactful in getting them to purchase something, right? So was it my podcast that they were listening to? Was it my weekly emails? Was it something they saw me do on Instagram? And on top of that, I want to know where are all the places that they did consume content from me before they purchased? Did they follow my podcast? Did they listen to one episode or 20? You know, so these are all things that I put into the post-purchase survey. The post-purchase survey is so important because it's going to tell us all this information about where did they come from? What all did they like? What all kind of content did they consume from you before purchasing? You know, who else did they consider? I always ask them, like, was there somebody else that you considered? I don't ask them to tell me the person, but I ask them to tell me what was it about us or what was it about my product that stood out or was different and more appealing to you than whatever else you comparison shopped with. That helps me lean into my unique differentiators so nicely. So this is all the kind of stuff you can put in your post-purchase survey. You, of course, can add more and more and build this out over time. But this stuff is gold. Now I want to go over really quickly what your two main goals are after a launch in your business in general. Like, I know sometimes it's really helpful for me to just kind of zoom out and have big picture ideas of what the focus is here. After a launch, your two big goals and your two focuses in your business become these two things. Number one, to build up new people, right? You immediately go back to list building, to building up new followers, to building up new email list subscribers, to building up more podcast listeners. Like, I need new people. That is literally the day after my launch this past February. I turned around and created a whole bunch of evergreen content to pull in new leads. So I created some reels, did some different things that I was like, I just need something, some like good, big cornerstone content that will pull people in and bring new people into this audience. Basically, I'm teaching you step zero. I'm saying step zero, right? This is going back to part one of this launch series where I'm just getting the list built back up with new people. I'm nurturing those people. And I'm really focusing on, again, expanding my audience from literally the day after the launch ends. I did not take even 24 hours off from the day after the launch ends all the way up till my next launch or promo. Now, goal number two is to nurture all those people who didn't buy from you in this last launch. Now, remember, every single time that you have a launch, every time you do anything in business, you're always going to have fewer people purchase than there are the number of people left over, right? So there's still this huge swath of people that are there who may or may not still be interested, just might not be the right time, might not have the budget at this very moment, you know, maybe not convinced yet, whatever it is, whatever the thing is. We need to nurture them because maybe the next time you run a promotion, that's going to be the right time for them. So what are you doing between now? This is day one after a launch. What are you doing from that day one until you run your next one to earn their trust, to get them ready, to prime them ready to buy, right? So, I mean, overall, I mean, I always say, like, for somebody like me, it's that I just keep doing what I'm doing because I have a really nice content system down. Right? I have a podcast. I consistently post one time per week for the last nearly 3 years now. I have an email list of over 31,000 subscribers, which I email every single week since 2017. You know, I post consistently on Instagram, evergreen content that's consistently pulling in new leads. Like, I'm doing the thing, right? If you haven't set that kind of, I don't know, clean, consistent, and simple content system up yet, then that's really what you need, right? You need to just keep showing up. So I would say just keep doing what you're doing, but make sure that what you're doing is already good and consistent, right? As long as you're doing things right, you can keep doing that. So that's creating content somewhere that's bigger, more searchable than social media, that will consistently pull in leads for a longer period of time or more consistently over time. You know, posting there using SEO tactics in mind for when you're creating content like a podcast or creating a YouTube video, you know, we want to make sure it's not just titled, but the topic is actually on something that people want to watch. It's searchable, right? We're creating things on social media that are able to keep pulling in leads over the course of this entirety, like this entire period between when your launch ends and your next launch. So I want to be pulling in new leads all the time, right? That's the way that I think of it. It's a lot of what I'm writing about in my book. So If this all sounds good to you, honestly, if this whole launch series has sounded interesting to you, you're really going to love the book that I'm writing, When I Start My Business, I'll Be Happy. It comes out in January 2025. I just started a little warm-up pre-VIP list down below if you want to be the first to know when it goes on sale later this summer. You can just sign up. It's just totally free way to find out that it'll be up for sale. I'll sign up or I'll share the link with you down in the show notes below. But you're really going to love this conversation because I can get into it in the book in such a deeper way. And I build out like the sequences for you and the sales sequences and all kinds of things. So we've got that coming. All right. Now, to wrap things up today and for this entire launch series, which I have just loved doing, I thought I would share my three main takeaways with you from this entire series. If you were to do nothing else or listen to nothing else, these are the three things that I would do to have a successful launch in the future. Number one, I would maintain your energy throughout the entire launch. This is key. You never know when things are going to turn around or when they'll pick up, and you can't quit until it's over. You just can't give up. You cannot. I'm not giving you permission to do that. If you set out to do a launch, you've got to see it through, because otherwise you're never really going to know what ended up happening or what would have happened if you had given it your all. And you're really just hardwiring failure if you give up on it. So we've got to see it through. We also have got to create this attitude of like, I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to create this product and talk about this product, regardless of how many people actually purchase it, right? That can't impact whether or not you're going to show up, because then how are we ever going to get to the point where a lot of people buy this? So we've got to show up, we've got to maintain that energy, and we've got to have a positive attitude. The second thing I would take away from this launch series is that building up an audience is more important than just launching. You need to have the right people to sell to, and they need to be primed and ready to buy. Now that we know that only about like 1-3% of your audience will actually convert and become customers, it sort of resets our expectations and understanding that we need to build the audience. The audience is super, super important. And I don't just mean social media followers. And even if we are talking about social media followers, I'm not saying you have to have thousands and thousands to run a successful launch. We need to get started somewhere, and somewhere is today. So let's just get started. The third thing I would take away from this launch series is that we need to know more about your customers, whether you have 1, 10, or 100. We need to know more about them, how they found you, what they considered before purchasing you, all the places they consumed your content, what was most helpful and impactful in getting them to convert, because we're basically just going to take that information and we're going to use it to our advantage to multiply more of them. A little bonus tip here is that I would then also make sure you take really, really good care of your customers. Again, whether you have 1, 10, or 100, you need to take really good care of your customers. I'm writing a whole section in the book about the Olive Garden effect. And once they're here, they're family. And that's how I think of it. That's how I treat my customers. It's really important because not only could they become repeat buyers, or maybe you sell the kind of product that, you know, retention is really important for you, like a membership where you need them to keep paying and stay on as a customer. But we're also going to use them as a referral system. So these people are going to be, you know, if they are happy, if you've helped provide them with some sort of results, if they've had a good experience with you, they're going to go out and they're going to tell other people about you naturally, whether you have an affiliate program or not. Honestly, it doesn't matter, because if people are really happy, people are always happy. Think about something you love in your life. Like, you're happy to share it with other people when it's worked for you and it's helped you or your life in some way. So we want to take really good care of your customers, not just because they're your customers, but also because they are going to become little referral partners. All right, with that, that is the end of our launch series. I hope that you've loved this series so far. If you haven't yet, please reply to my weekly email. Hit reply. I read everything you guys write. So reply to my weekly email. Send me a DM on Instagram @SamVanderWheelen. Let me know what you thought about this launch series and whether you found it helpful. If you have a topic request for my next series, I am all ears. My DMs are open. My inbox is open. I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Terminators. And I hope that you have a very good rest of your day. See you next Monday. Thanks so much for listening to the On Your Terms podcast. Make sure to follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. You can also check out all of our podcast episodes, show notes, links, and more at samvanderwielen.com/podcast. You can learn more about legally protecting your business and take my free legal workshop, 5 Steps to Legally Protect and Grow Your Online Business, at samvanderwielen.com. And to stay connected and follow along, follow me on Instagram at samvanderwielen and send me a DM to say hi. Just remember that although I am an attorney, I am not your attorney, and I am not offering you legal advice in today's episode. This episode and all of my episodes are informational and educational only. It is not a substitute for seeking out your own advice from your own lawyer. And please keep in mind that I can't offer you legal advice. I don't ever offer any legal services, but I think I offer some pretty good information.